You're listening to High Vibe Mindset, where entrepreneurs Aaron Smith, a sports physician assistant, and Melissa Smith, an intuitive eating dietitian and mindset coach, dive into all the juicy details of business, relationships, health, science, and spirituality. Now let's dive in. We have a special guest today, Sonia McCrimmon, a behavior analyst turned mindset coach on a mission to help women analyze their triggers and negative thought patterns and their behaviors to help build a badass new mindset. Sonia's personal journey of healing really began after she left an emotionally abusive relationship in her early 20s and began understanding more and more about herself, her upbringing, her relationships, and how her career has shaped who she is today. Now, she leverages her expertise as a board certified behavior analyst to integrate various evidence-based strategies related to behavior change and building long-lasting habits with her clients. Her one-on-one coaching focuses on looking inward through inner child work to break down limiting beliefs at their core. In this episode, we talk about why inner child work is important, especially for entrepreneurs who may be struggling with bad habits like distraction, feeling easily triggered, or battling negative thoughts. So let's get into the episode. We are so excited to have a special guest here on High Vibe Mindset Podcast who's going to shed some light on how to break negative thoughts and manage triggers through inner child and mindset work. So, Sonia, we're so excited to have you. And if you could please define for our audience what inner child work is and let us know why it's important.
Yeah, definitely. All human beings have a part of themselves that hasn't fully grown up. So that part may feel and react to their conditioned circumstances in present day, similar to a child. Now, inner child work, I feel like, is something that a lot of people either haven't heard too much of, but it is definitely something that all of us have a part of us. So if you impulsively react or get triggered in a certain situation, this means you have a wound that still needs healing. And that's totally normal. So that's something that is definitely that we all go through that. And if you've never really known or looked into this before, that is totally okay too. These things are not taught to us, but instead are created through our different experiences and our learned behaviors in our childhood and our environments that we are raised in. So once we can start to look at this, we can start to do more of the inner work. And that really is looking at your inner little you. So that really means like your 7-year-old you, your 12-year-old you, really any past age you. So that's really what the inner child work is. It allows you to see where certain issues may be that you're facing in adulthood, where they specifically came from. And so that can allow you to look at emotions to be released, old behavior patterns that aren't serving you anymore. And then that allows you to really recognize those unmet needs and to build a better understanding of yourself.
Awesome. That is such a thorough, you know, picture of what it is. And I love it because it is new for me. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I've been so intrigued by and following various people who do this type of work. And so I think it's so cool to have you on here because I am seeing the importance of this, right? And how we all, as we grow up, we have just unresolved childhood things to work through, triggers for sure, right? So I'm so excited about talking about this. And what led you to this type of work?
Well, I feel like I do have a unique background into really getting into this kind of coaching. So my job before coaching was working as a behavior analyst. So my background before this, I'm a board certified behavior analyst, and I worked in an agency for kids with autism, and we implemented behavior treatment plans. So it was one-on-one behavior therapy, and I supervised 2 classrooms of students and staff. So over the years in this role, I had to guide staff and parents through difficult situations. And what I realized the most was how much I really loved being able to support others in those struggles and what they needed guidance on, how they felt about implementing a strategy, and ultimately what was best for them. And I recently left my 9-to-5 in December, actually. What was really cool in the end of all of that was my staff shared so openly to me about how much I helped them grow their confidence in their skills and actually start to believe in themselves and like those messages were so powerful to hear as I was actually going to pursue this passion. So it was a really cool kind of end to that, not to say end to that career, but to go fully into this coaching really solidified that feeling of passion for it.
Awesome. What a wonderful background. I think that is so cool. And it's awesome that you've been able to make such an impact in that work. And now you're continuing, recently leaving your 9-to-5, and now you're a coach. So yeah, share with us more about what your work looks like now. And I know that a lot, I definitely want to dive into why, what are some of the major reasons that we might have negative thoughts or be triggered, and speak to us more about that type of inner child work and how you work to help people work through their triggers.
Yeah. So it's a big question.
Yeah.
but honestly, it is one of the main pieces of my coaching. So yeah, definitely. The major reason, which I briefly touched on, was our past conditioning. So realistically, like when we look at when we grow up, as kids, we're sponges, right? Mm-hmm. We learn, we observe, we witness things, we hear things, we soak it all in. Even if it is not directly at us, we may like have certain negative thoughts about ourselves because this could have been something that was directly or indirectly said to us, or we constantly observed it or heard that same message over and over again. So this is really where negative thoughts or triggers stem from. It starts to get ingrained in us as kids. We don't know any better back then. We rely on our caregivers and friends and community to show us the way that we start to believe in these things too. So let's throw in an example. So let's say a kid grows up in a family that one of the parents was really hard on them academically, expecting them to get really good grades. Typically, things that were said may have been something like, you need to do better. These grades are not good enough. You can't go to Aaron's house because you didn't get good grades. If you were told these things, what do you think will happen, right? So in the end, this can have a lasting effect on somebody and how they believe in themselves in the future. They'll start to believe that they will only be worthy if they succeed at something external. So in adulthood, they work and work, work to be seen, heard, and understood. And so they place their worth in their job rather than in themselves. And when they don't succeed or have trouble at work, they immediately think all those old thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'm not good enough. I can't go out because I haven't finished XYZ at work, or my boss will kill me. You have these thoughts because they were instilled in us when we were younger. And it can be really hard to wrap our head around these ideas initially when you're just learning this information about negative thoughts and those kinds of triggers. So it does take a lot of time to process this information. So in turn, if we have a situation happen that may relate to these types of past experiences, we could get triggered in our current day easily if we have not processed these wounds yet. And so this is the start to the healing journey. That's really the beginning step, is recognizing those wounds that trigger us, digging deeper into our past to understand why we're triggered still today. And then this allows us to start to break free from it over time so that more awareness, more acceptance and compassion you can have for yourself, and knowing that this does not define you.
Are you looking to elevate your client experience to the next level? Whether you're in the wellness, photography, or mental health worlds, imagine the impact of offering your client a truly unique and memorable gift that supports them on a personal level. Introducing the Custom Affirmation Card Decks by Soleia. Our custom affirmation decks are designed to empower and inspire your clients, leaving a lasting impression that strengthens your professional relationship. So picture this. Your own branded affirmation cards, beautifully crafted with imagery that reflects your brand's essence. These card decks serve as more than just a gift. They become a daily reminder of your commitment to your client's well-being and success. Whether you're a life coach, yoga instructor, therapist, or photographer, your custom card deck supports your client's personal growth, even when they're not in a session with you. So why settle for generic gifts like candles or pens, when you can create something truly transformational and beautiful? With Soleia's custom affirmation cards, you can tailor every aspect to align with your brand identity and the values that you stand for. And this process is easy for you. We do all the heavy lifting from design to ordering. Simply choose your affirmations, select the imagery, and add your logo and branding elements. We'll take care of the rest, delivering a high-quality, personalized product. Join the ranks of leading wellness, photography, and mental health professionals who are elevating their client experience with custom affirmation card decks from Soleia. Visit our website today at soleia.co/custom to learn more and start creating your own unforgettable client gifts. That's soleia.co/custom. And I'll spell it out for you, soulea.co/custom. Together, let's inspire positivity and empower transformation one affirmation at a time.
You are not your thoughts. And that's kind of one of my big messages that I share with my audience and clients is you are not your thoughts. And that's something also just big in itself to wrap your head around too.
I love that you are not your thoughts. That is so true, right? A lot of this is that mindset work and analyzing your own thoughts. And the trigger is like that behavior, right? It's like unconscious, just automatic. Yeah. And there's all those thoughts and beliefs behind it. And I love the example you share because I think so many people can relate with that and might not understand why they are such high achievers or they struggle maybe in relationships and they're very success or business oriented. And it's interesting. Yeah. I just wanted to share a little on some of the work I've been doing and what I've been noticing. And I'm basically the opposite. So I grew up with a lot of the messages of like, oh, it's really hard to succeed and it's okay. And family is the most important and don't worry about it, you know? So for me, I had a lot of that, like, and basically messages like, if you try and you don't do well, that's not your thing. You're just not talented in it. So just kind of move on. And it kind of set me up to give up easily and not believe in myself. So it's something I've really had to work through. I'm someone that went through a lot of different hobbies and business ideas, and I had to work super hard to overcome those limiting beliefs and thoughts that are like, you know what? It's okay to start and it's okay to fail. It's okay to start basically with not knowing what you're doing or not feeling good enough. And it's okay to work and push past that and to really analyze those thoughts and where they come from and realize that doesn't have to be the reality.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. It's really powerful to be able to then look back at those past experiences and say, okay, because the biggest component of like, you are not your thoughts is that like, you can now look at that and allow yourself to separate from it. But then it's almost like you're starting this whole new process of, okay, who am I? Right. Yes. And building that back up. So it's all a process for sure.
Yes, 100%. You definitely get like that, like, okay, well, that's how I saw myself and I want more, right? I want to be able to also be successful and I'm passionate about business and I want to make an impact. I don't want to just be the person that's only focused on relationships, right? So then it is kind of like, now, how do I get there? How do I kind of dig deep and figure out my true values and how to live that out? So it's been a fun, interesting ride.
Yeah, I touched on values here too. So yeah, it's a great point.
So we talked about, you know, as adults, I think a lot of us are kind of already messed up. Like we can't go back and change how we were raised to hopefully avoid some of the negative after effects. Yeah. But like Melissa and I, we have a 3-year-old son. What are some techniques for, you know, like maybe motivating him to get good grades in school without hopefully creating some harmful side effects? Do you have any like good techniques for raising and instilling that positive mindset where hopefully they don't have to struggle as much in the future?
That's a great question. Honestly, tapping into like their values or getting them to do little mini journal prompts on their own. It does kind of sound silly, but kids love that kind of stuff and really allowing them to get into their imagination and accepting their imagination. And this isn't to say that like some parents don't, but sometimes if you know, if a parent is like, go get those good grades, but they have a lot of creativity or imagination, really not squashing that to be like, that's wrong, right? Mm-hmm. One of the big things is sometimes we perceive things as right or wrong. And if we go in a mentality that way, that's going to lead mm-hmm. into this fear around, I'm doing things wrong the way that I enjoy. So I have to go find a different way to do it. And so almost just thinking in hindsight, there's not a right or wrong way to do something. So just in those situations, if you are wanting to understand them better, just almost like leading by their example and asking them questions, what they really do like. But there actually is, there's a resource that's not mine, but it's called A Future Self Journal. The holistic psychologist, I'll just throw her name out there. If you guys follow her on Instagram, it's Dr. Nicola Pera, and she has an entire like self-healers community. And she was amazing for me when I was first understanding myself. All of her posts are mind-blowing. And so she actually created a future self journal, and I started to use it, and it was really great. And it really allows you to look at yourself in the future, but writing down these answers to the same questions every day. So like, what am I grateful for? What traits do I want to have? Certain things like that. She actually created a kid's version of the future self journal. Awesome. So I would just highly recommend that for kids, because I've actually heard from fellow friends that have kids that have used that, and their kids really loved it. And so it's almost one of those things where it sounds kind of like a spiritual thing that like you might be doing with a little one, but they have such great imagination. And so allowing them to really tap into that would be really cool. So not my resource, but definitely I think that would be really great for kiddos.
I love that. And you did mention how you help your clients with different journaling, but that is so mm-hmm. awesome. Thanks for sharing that as well for parents with their kids, just a little thing that they can do. And that's something I would love to do. I'm all about journaling too.
Cool.
So awesome. I know I have a lot of questions around managing triggers, because I know that's a lot of what you do. Mm-hmm. So if you can give us some more information and insight on how maybe being triggered can negatively affect someone's life and someone's business, and what are some simple ways that someone can work toward managing those triggers?
Yeah. So I've a bit touched on it already, but if we constantly give in to our negative thoughts, it means that we're fused with certain fears, which could be fear of judgment from others, fear of the unknown because we can't control it, fear of failure, fear of abandonment. There's a lot of things that kind of come up and are tied with those thoughts. So if we let these fears run the show, and then our negative thoughts and triggers, they'll run wild and it can turn into deep avoidant behavior where we sink into all types of distraction or connection. So just it for context, something I've learned through acceptance and commitment training, which is a scientific framework that I utilize in my coaching methods. So ACT is what I call it. There's the three D's, which is distraction, disconnection, and disengagement. So these are three things that we could be affecting our life and business. So distraction is when you try to avoid those thoughts or triggers by keeping yourself occupied with unproductive actions or activities. So I feel like this is very common in the day and age. So like Netflix, eating junk food, scrolling social media, like that is a huge one these days.
Or for me, like always learning. I can create a lot of distractions for myself.
That's actually a really good one, because if you are a high achiever or like seeking, or you're multi-passionate, like you might just be always on the run to like continue to learn, which, you know, there's a fine line for those ones for sure. And then with disengage is when we try to avoid our thoughts by staying in autopilot. So that kind of goes back to my previous example with a lack of focus or proper attention on something. Like this one is really big in today's society too, because we are taught or shown to always like go, go, go. And it's good to keep hustling. But if you constantly do this, you aren't allowing yourself to rest or reconnect with yourself and understand yourself on a deeper level. And then that leads into the last D, which is disconnect. So this is when we try to avoid our thoughts by retreating from others or events. So we can cancel plans, we can isolate ourselves, we don't ask for help, we retreat inward, and this can affect our relationships over time. And so I do want to say with that, all of these are so common. Like we all exhibit or engage in these types of things, you know, here and there, that is totally normal, but it can affect your life and business if this starts to become an everyday avoidance of all difficult situations. So I always like to talk about moderation. There's always some things that, yeah, you have a really rough day, you just want to go watch Netflix for that night. Cool. And like, we've all been there, but being very cautious of how often you're really engaging in that avoidance. And if you're constantly avoiding everything, you're not processing those emotions or situations to be able to move forward. So with all of that said, I have a ton of strategies, but I'll focus on a few here. And so really to manage those triggers, one of my number one strategies right off the bat to tackle these triggers in the moment when they happen is one thing I like to call is notice, name, and neutralize. This is another strategy utilized from ACT, which is evidence-based. So once you become aware of that thought, you allow yourself to notice that it is there. And I know it kind of sounds silly, but if you actually try to like catch the thought in the moment, rather than avoiding it or pushing it under the rug, you're going to face it head on. And so that's really the noticing and the awareness piece. And then you name it. So this is a really big one that I think is really cool too, because we don't realize, but emotion regulation and actually labeling our emotions is extremely powerful to allow us to understand ourselves on a deeper level. We teach it in school to kids to understand what sad, happy, angry, all of those things are, but we don't really think about it in context when we're adults. And so it allows us to put a name to it and separate it from us. So that kind of goes back to that explanation of you are not your thoughts.
Yes.
And so these thoughts do not define us and we cannot control them. And it's definitely, that's a whole topic I could talk about. Sometimes naming it can be a label. So, oh, I have these worrying thoughts or anxious thoughts or fearful thoughts. Or you can actually name it a human name, which some people love to do. So my inner demons, for instance, are called Brenda. So like, this is a really great technique because it allows you once again to separate you from your thoughts themselves and really allow you to look at them objectively. And so that last part about that is neutralizing, which means you notice and name it, and now let yourself acknowledge the presence of it there and know that since you can't control it, you are accepting the fact that it will pass in its own time, which is also something really hard to process because it's like you just want it to go away. But you can't control them. They'll come up whenever they please. So allowing yourself to really neutralize it, which is the hard part. And so saying out loud the statement of noticing and naming, like, okay, I'm noticing that Brenda or my worrying thoughts are coming up right now. And then a statement of neutralizing to say, I know you're here. That is okay. But I am safe. I am good. You can come and go as you please. But I'm going to continue doing my thing. And so that brings the control back to you, not the thought. So that's one strategy, which is like a big one. If we have time, I can throw out maybe two other strategies.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love that. And I just want to recap that because it's so powerful. And I have seen this in my own life, too, where, you know, when I started business, this was the perfect storm recipe for me to start being like, wow, what is going on? Why am I struggling so hard? I felt like very ambitious and focused. I had just gotten my MBA, gotten through my dietetic internship, and school was never a problem. But then with business, I found myself really distracted, unfocused, and then a lot of the imposter syndrome coming up. And basically everything you talked about with all those D's, all of it, I was going through all of it. And I did struggle for a while where I was in that awareness stage and labeling things, but I kind of let that have power over me and make me feel kind of worse about myself. Right. And be like, oh man, I'm like this. I have all these blocks. How do I overcome it? But just by sitting with that label for too long and being like, I have this issue. I have this issue. I have this block. It's like, I had to get to a point where I had to just release it and be like, okay, this is just a thing coming up and I can make a choice right now to just notice it and release it and choose something different. And that's when things started to pick up and I started to do well. So I think everything you're saying makes so much sense. And it's something I've seen as well. But yes, definitely, we'd love to hear some other strategies.
So the other one is really tracking your thoughts. So it kind of goes back to tying into that. But when you write these situations down, so whenever something triggers you, write about what happened before it, what brought on the thoughts and feelings, how did your body react physically, and what did you do after? This is actually a huge behavioral strategy that I've used in the past as a behavior analyst. This is like one of the key components to really analyze and understand them on a deeper level. And if you can start tracking these situations, you can start to see more and more over time what specific events bring on these thoughts. And then it allows you to actually anticipate in the future when things are coming up and then builds those management strategies around that. So that's kind of like a first core component to really processing them. And a second part to that is when you track them, you can obviously do journaling. So I feel like we hear about journaling all the time, and it honestly is an extremely valuable tool to be able to jot down what you're going through. Having prompts or calculated questions that you ask yourself can be beneficial. But whether it's free writing when situations happen or with prompts, getting the thoughts down on paper allows it to get out of your head. So you can start to look at the thoughts objectively and to not take them personally. But the bigger part of journaling that I find is not mentioned enough is the reflection afterwards. Okay. Once you journal a situation that was really hard to go through, imagine looking back at that situation 1 week, 1 month, 6 months, or even a year later. It allows you to express gratitude for how far you've come, what you've learned back then, and how you can learn from it over again. So reflection is a huge component in general to processing emotions and triggers. You can build a stronger sense of yourself if you can look back and see the triggers and how to eventually learn from them over time. And that's the thing too. Some people are really scared to do that inner work, and you understand yourself better, and it builds that resilience to really know, okay, these are things that were affecting me. Because people look at it as a negative sometimes of like, oh, I don't want to look back at my past and shed a negative light on it of being like, oh, my parents were controlling. Mm-hmm. It's never meant to be a negative light. It's really just meant to be an opportunity to learn and grow from it to move forward. But then you briefly touched on values. So that was kind of my last strategy here. So outside of triggers and thoughts, values is a huge piece of the puzzle, because I'm giving away some serious valuable info here, but outside of actually managing the trigger itself, there is one key step you have to do before all of that, which is understanding your values, what they are. And the term value gets thrown around so much these days, but it is an anchoring point for you in any situation. So values mean how you want to behave, act, feel on an ongoing basis. So this could be being accountable, authentic, kind, loving, responsible, energetic. There's obviously a ton out there. But when you start to avoid things or get triggered or have negative thoughts come up, the first thing after you notice and name it is really look at the bigger picture and say, okay, is this action or situation in alignment with my values? And so having your values understood and set in stone allows you to redirect yourself in tough situations, to snap into the mindset of, oh, okay, wait, this doesn't feel aligned. What is one tiny step I can do to get back into alignment? And so this provides a redirection to future you, the person you strive to be, the person you have always been and want to stay on track to becoming. Values keep you in check. And you, if you have any difficult times, remember to check in with your values and use it as guidance and a redirection in those moments. So those are my strategies.
I love it. Yeah. Values is something too. I feel like it could be a whole nother topic. Yeah. And that's something I've been thinking for my next episode. But you're You're so right. It's like the guiding post for us to keep us on the path of alignment. So I love that you also in your coaching and in your work, you help people with that, because I think that's so important, right? When we're struggling a lot with those inner child wounds, and when we need to do that work, and when we're being really triggered a lot, a lot of things probably are out of alignment.
Yeah.
And we're just really struggling with old narratives. So that makes so much sense. And I just have to say too, when you made that point about how a lot of people fear inner child work, right? Mm-hmm. Because they think, oh no, like that's going to be too heavy. That's going to be too much for me. I don't want to revisit that. It was interesting because I wasn't one of those people. I was just like, I'm someone very into self-development and just like, yeah, let's dive in. Let's do it.
Yeah.
But I went in at it without a coach like you. So I would recommend, you know what? I think it can be very heavy. And that's why I would 100% recommend that someone would work with you and be guided through that to process it the right way. Because it was, I didn't realize, I just kind of thought, well, it won't be heavy for me. I love self-development. I'll be okay. And it really was. It really affected me. Yeah. A lot. So I think if I had someone like you there to help guide me and process things, it would have been amazing. But even going through that and slowly but surely starting to get through the other side, and I'm still doing the work.
It's a daily thing.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? It would have been awesome to get a coach for this.
But like, that's the thing too, though. Like before I was even in this, like I guzzled up every kind of self-development thing you can name. Like I got all the books, I watched all the things, like, but honestly, I didn't feel empowered and in my knowing and really felt confident in myself until I hired a life coach.
Yeah.
And honestly, that type of expert support and guidance just allows you to open up and really have that comfort in your healing to have someone go alongside it with you. But yeah, it wasn't until I hired a life coach myself. So that in itself allowed me to feel empowered to really understand myself on such a different level with that expert guided support. So
yes,
totally hear you.
Totally. It's like, you know, go with the people who have been there, done the thing, and they can help you through it. So I love that. I think that's awesome. So these were some really valuable, amazing tips for us. So thank you so much. I think this is so powerful and can help a lot of people. And I know that this topic, inner child work, a lot of people didn't know about it before the podcast, but now have a great idea about it and might be understanding, right? If they're struggling in their business or in their relationships and they're feeling constantly triggered or uncomfortable emotions, or they're on autopilot, like you said, right? Like they want to improve their life, they want to have better habits, but they're in just such a state where they're struggling and they're not sure how to get there. They're just kind of living in autopilot and they're out of touch with their values. They're not in alignment. I firmly believe this is the type of work that can help them get into alignment and help them to get to a better state, a better mindset. So I wanted to ask if there's anything that we didn't touch on that you want to share with us.
I feel like I talked your ears off and I could definitely talk about these things all day, but I think we have covered a solid amount of information. I guess the one thing that I will note to everyone that is listening is that these triggers and negative thoughts that come up are completely normal. They happen to everyone in their own way. You are not alone. And allowing yourself to be open about these feelings that you're having and connecting with a solid support system that can hold the space for you to express yourself will make a world of difference. And if there is anyone listening that doesn't feel safe to connect with anyone right now, please reach out to me and I'd be happy to hold that space for you guys as well. So I just kind of wanted to throw that note out there. And honestly, this has been so amazing and I've really loved sharing all these details.
Definitely. Awesome. Yeah, we just have a few more questions and I'll just combine the last few, right? So wanting to know your go-to, maybe if you have any mindset practices, routines, resources, and just ways that you stay high vibe.
Yeah. Honestly, when it comes to staying high vibe, I really would recommend movement and the mindset work daily, which is really like the journaling and really getting in tune with yourself. Honestly, I will say it feels silly at first. Everyone goes through that weird hump of like, why am I doing this? This feels kind of silly, or like, I don't know about this, but it's like, you're making those changes and it's not an overnight thing. So to stay high vibe, definitely just get into the movement, get that energy out in a powerful way to feel, get in tune with who you are, allow yourself to feel that power and just be you. So I love to do yoga, nature walks, dance to favorite tunes. That stuff always gets me hyped up.
Yes.
And yeah, it may sound super silly, but having conversations with myself all the time. I know that's definitely like, and I'm not talking like positive affirmations. I'm like, I genuinely have conversations with myself sometimes.
Me too, though.
Okay, I'm glad you can relate.
Yeah.
I don't consider it necessarily like positive affirmations because it's literally just, me talking to myself, volley.
It's like little pep talks.
Yeah. And so that really just like allows me to get more like connected with myself on a different level and like build that self-trust, owning yourself and reconnecting. So yeah, that's one of the fun ones.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely talk to myself too. Sometimes affirmations or some just, you're alone and you're like, okay, I need to do this, or what do you want, or what sounds good? So talking to yourself, I can say that I do that as well.
Yeah, like hyping yourself up.
Yes, definitely. I need to give myself a pep talk sometimes. But this has been amazing. I just want to do a brief recap. You talked about a lot, right? You talked about inner child work, how we can manage triggers that we have, gave us a lot of practices, a lot of resources that I'm going to link in the show notes for you guys. And I definitely know from this, I've learned a lot, and I want to do that reflection piece of the journaling because I think that is so powerful to go back and see where you were and see how you've improved, because that is something I don't do enough to reflect on the growth, right? Sometimes we stay in the negative and like what's going wrong. So that's just another way to remind ourselves of how well we're doing and how we're improving. So I love that. So our last thing would be, where can listeners find you and how can they work with you?
Yeah. So my website is www.soniamccrimmon.com. And I also have my Instagram. So that's at soniajmack.coaching. Those are my two main areas you can find me. And really right now for working with me, I currently have a couple spots available for one-on-one coaching. So that's really if anyone is feeling stuck, having difficulty, even knowing where to start on their healing journey, they're just on those very early steps. And so within that, it really comes with a 3-month package and there's 3 calls a month. You get messaging support with me every day outside those calls. Wow. So you have me in your back pocket every day to guide you, which is really amazing. And I love that component of it. And you actually get free access to all my other offers. So that's actually a huge bonus because I am so excited to announce my next upcoming offer. And it is a 8-week group coaching program. So that's for anyone that has started their healing journey and they have some tools in their tool belt, but really just want a formal step-by-step guide on staying consistent and also just receiving amazing community support along the way with other people that are in the same boat going through it too. And so in this 8-week program, I've got 8 modules on my signature course. So each week a module is shared. You get homework to complete on that specific topic. And then we break it down and build discussion about it in the group coaching calls that are weekly. And in those calls, there's also like life coaching from me. Yeah. So I'm really, really excited about that. So if people go to my website, there is a section for the group program page and you can sign up for the waitlist right now. because it won't start until mid-March. And if you're on the wait list and you decide to join, you actually get 3 amazing bonuses with it that are such a steal. So amazing. If you guys want to go check all of that out, I cannot wait. And thank you guys so much for having me. That this has been such a pleasure. And it's been so fun to connect with you guys.
Of course. It has been so amazing to have you on. And we got so much value. And the program that you have sounds incredible. So everyone, please follow Sonia. We're going to have everything linked. Follow her on Instagram. Check out everything that she's doing. And we thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was a blast.
If you loved this episode, subscribe and stay notified for new episodes every Tuesday. Leave us a review with what you liked or what you want more of. And don't forget, stay high vibe.
Do you know these 3 things are sabotaging your ability to live your high vibe life? First is living in disconnection, which basically means walking around with no awareness of your body, emotions, or values. And second is letting negative self-talk run the show in your brain. That's just going to make you doubt your potential and stop you from going after your dreams. Finally, it's not having any supportive coping practices or self-care that doesn't take hours or cost tons of money. Because when you're living in chronic stress at home or work, the last thing that feels accessible is a spa day or a meditation retreat.
We have personally struggled with all of these things, and that's why we created the Body Deck. This affirmation card deck has 77 intentionally designed, beautiful cards to help you address all 3 of these high vibe killers in just a couple minutes a day. These affirmations will help you tune into your body and your inner world, practice positive self-talk, and best of all, it's super portable and affordable. For only $33, benefit from the transformative practice of affirmations anywhere you go.
So if you're ready to stop the self-sabotage and start being the highest version of yourself, you'll definitely want to get your hands on the Body Deck Affirmation Cards. Head over to Soulea.co. That's Soulea.co to get the Body Deck Affirmation Cards today. You can also find the link in the show notes.